Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started. Hello, listeners, and welcome to Keeping It Real Estate, the show where we keep all things real about real estate. I'm your host, Luke Lewis.
And I'm Tiffany Young. And every week we break down the world of real estate to help you make smart decisions, whether you're buying, selling, or investing. And today we have a special guest on our show.
Yep, that's right. Before we introduce our guests, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are. We are with Treasure Coast Realty Group, and we're located in Fort Pierce right here on Florida's Treasure Coast. And as a reminder, this is a live call-in show, so if you'd like to call in and have any comments or commentary on our show, you can call in live and get on the air at 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100. And if you're in the car driving or just want to have some conversation about some of the topic, feel free to call in. We'll be sure to give you some dialogue. So, Tiffany, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How was your week?
Good. You had a long, crazy day, I see.
Oh, what a day today. My hair, if I had a lot more, it'd be standing up.
Well, that's over. So,
folks, for listeners out there, I am not bald, just so you know.
Okay.
Still, I'll put that out there. All right.
Well, anyway, so today we have our preferred lender as a guest on the show with us today. Her name is Thesia Dillap, and she's with Van Dyke Mortgage. And she's here today to introduce some things to you that can assist you with getting pre-approved for a mortgage, and also to chat about a few programs out there that can help you as well.
Yep. And Thesia, can you briefly introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay. Hi, everybody.
There she is.
My name is Thesia Dillap, and I am the Divisional Branch Manager of Van Dyke Mortgage. My national mortgage licensing system number is 225134, and Van Dyke Mortgage is 3035. I've been in the mortgage industry for over 45 years now. Van Dyke Mortgage has been around since 1987. They survived the bubble and still going strong. We are a lender, not a broker. And we have a large menu of products that we offer. And that's your typical conventional financing, FHA, VA, USDA, and non-QM. Non-QM are products that don't meet the requirements of those other ones that I just had mentioned. I found that there are a lot of people looking to purchase and seeking down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. And so I was asked to discuss what might be out there to help buyers. Some of these are for first-time home buyers, and others you don't have to be a first-time home buyer. So I'm going to go over a few of them, and if you have any questions, please feel free to ask, and you know, I can go into more detail. Now, there are down payment assistance programs. They're called DPAs, if you've seen that. And there's also grants, and there's a difference between the two. Down payment assistance typically has restrictions where you might have to live in a property for a certain period of time before that down payment assistance is forgiven. For instance, you may have to live in a property for 15 years until it's forgiven, or as much as 30 years on some of the programs. If you were to move prior to those restricted time periods, then funds would have to be repaid back. A lot of them don't have monthly payment requirements, but then again, there are some that do. Now, the federal government funds a lot of these programs to local municipalities such as the county and sometimes city. So there's all different types of places that may offer that. It's not just county programs. There's state, there's city, and there's county. Then there's also state-funded programs that may be allocated to the local municipalities, mm-hmm. such as the cities and the counties. And just recently, the federal government placed a freeze on the federally funded program, but as early as this morning, they had just lifted that freeze. So, nice. You know, all of those programs are still available. There was a little bit of scare, but it was lifted, so now there's money that's being funded. The Both types of funding are given through the state programs, county or city, but they may have different restrictions. Some may have household income restrictions. Some have minimum credit score requirements. Some, like I said earlier, are time-restricted periods. Some requirements you have to be a first-time home buyer, where others you don't. And the definition of a first-time home buyer is someone who has not owned any real estate in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as a married couple, if there's a recent divorce and property was owned jointly and the property was sold, then both of them now become a first-time home buyer because they would be purchasing on their own.
Hey, Thesia, let me just slow down for a second and have you repeat that part again. There's a misconception about first time, what qualifies as a first time home buyer. So I'm glad mm-hmm. to hear that I'm glad to hear you talk about that part, because you can have a home before, and you want to talk just one more time, just repeat about the 3 year period, because that's important for people to know.
Right. So 3 years is a time frame that almost any program would look at as being a first time buyer. But again, you know, say you're married, you just got a divorce, and part of the property settlement was that the property had to be sold. So now you're two separate individuals and you want to go out and buy a property. Are you considered a first-time home buyer again? Yes, you could be considered a first-time home buyer again.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. That's great to hear that, because mm-hmm. I've heard
a
so
lot
many
of people
call.
Don't know that.
No idea, at all. It's all
it
education.
It does open people up to
sure.
being able to go for first-time home buyer down payment assistance or grants.
Yeah.
Great.
Wow. And let me just stop for a second. I'm going to repeat the number again, because this is interesting content, and I like to have callers give us a call if there are any questions. Again, the number to call in is 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100. And Thesia, this is dynamite information, so please continue. I'm taking notes as well.
So some of these down payment assistance programs, one other thing that might be a little caveat is you might have to have a borrower investment into the transaction. In other words, you might have to have 2.5% or 3.5% of your own funds into that, and we're finding a lot of those.
Mm.
The definition of borrower's own funds into the transaction could be your own savings and earnings. It can be a gift from a family member, or it could be a loan on a retirement account. But I just want to bring up that, you know, we're in tax refund season,
mm-hmm.
and that could also be part of your down payment requirement for some of these programs.
So that money doesn't have to be...
So I tell a lot of people that I work with, look, your taxes are going to be done. Hang tight onto that refund that you get, and let's use it to help purchase a home.
Yeah.
So Thesia, that your income tax refund doesn't have to be seasoned, as long as you can show where the
that is correct.
Okay.
Yes, that is a. I'm glad you brought that up, because
sure.
when we look at savings and earnings and bank statements, they're going to look to see that those funds have been in your account for at least a 2 month period. So whenever you get pre-qualified for a mortgage, you're going to give to the lender 2 months worth of bank statements. Any large deposits that can't be sourced will be questioned. So say, for instance, you have $1,000 in the bank and you have cash at home of $5,000. And a lot of people do that. Now you want to buy a home and you're going to deposit that $5,000 in the bank. If the lender sees it, they can't use it. To them, you only have $1,000 in the bank.
Mm.
But when it comes to these other sources of down payment, allowable down payment, or assets in the bank, all you would have to do is show a copy of your tax returns to show that you got the refund. And for the most part, people
mm-hmm.
have the money just going right into their account, and it'll show that it came from the IRS.
Nice.
Now, if somebody sold some personal property, say they had a motorcycle and they sold that and they made a large deposit, you want to make sure that you have a bill of sale. You want to make sure that you show the transfer title and make sure that they write you a check or a Zelle so that it can be traced, showing who it came from, and all those names and numbers match up.
Okay.
Be the same.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Some people sell jewelry. Again, you know, bill of sale, copy of the check. mm-hmm. Things like that. So when it comes to personal property, yeah, you can use it as long as it can be documented properly. And I always tell people, you know, you don't want to trust checks because, you know, they may end up bouncing.
Right.
But Zelle's a big thing now, and Zelle shows you exactly where that money's coming from. So right. that helps.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Wow. There's, I wanted to bring to your attention too, there's another private down payment assistance. Now, the other ones that I just talked about are typically federally funded and state funded programs, you know, and there's a lot of them, and we work with all of them. But there's another one that not a lot of lenders offer or even know about, and it's a private down payment assistance fund for FHA loan programs. Mm. It's a native owned, federally chartered government agency. So you don't have to be a Native American to be eligible for this program, but that's just where the funds come from. They will provide anywhere from 3.5% to 5% down payment that would be needed for an FHA loan, but it will be a second mortgage. There's okay. no borrower investment required. So basically, you can get into a home with no money out of your pocket, so long as you have these funds for your borrower investment. And then if you could get the seller to pay some closing costs, you right there can get into a property with no money out of your pocket.
So, Thesia, can you take a combination of both programs?
Not with this one.
Okay.
They will allow a third lien position or okay. a grant, but there will be a first and there will be a second mortgage recorded. And they okay. want first and second lien position on
nice.
That.
Nice. Okay. Great.
Okay. A lot of these programs with the down payment assistance, if there is a lien, a second lien recorded on the home, they want it that way. They'll allow a third lien or a grant to be behind that, but, you know, for the most part, they want to have that second lien position just for security. But this program, like I said, no borrower investment is required. And you don't need to be a first-time home buyer. You can actually own other real estate at the same time. But this property using this program, the property that you would buy using this program, would have to be your primary residence.
Okay.
And this one has a minimum credit score requirement of 600.
Okay.
Hmm. So it's like I said earlier, you know, there's a lot of different restrictions, and they're all different for each program. Some are household income requirements, some are minimum credit score requirements. So this private one that I just told you about, you can't have a credit score any lower than 600. And when we say credit score, they pull all three bureaus. They'll pull your TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and they'll use that middle credit score mm-hmm. as the deciding factor. Now, say you have two people on the loan, and you know they'll go with the lower of the two. So say the one borrower has a middle credit score of 600 and the other borrower has a middle credit score of 580, then they wouldn't be eligible for this program.
Okay.
Because they will go
okay.
with the lowest. Of the two.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just a general idea of what is out there and how these programs work. But I could go on for probably an hour and tell you about each individual one and how they were actually mm-hmm. more than an hour if I told you how each one of them worked individually. But yeah, you can, if anybody's interested, I mean, they should reach out to your office because you guys have all this information. You know, there is one thing I would like to say, and as I said in the beginning, there's down payment assistance programs, and usually, typically, there's a payback or it's forgiven after a certain period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but then there are grants, and that's what people, a lot of people don't realize. There's a big difference between the two. Grants are like a gift. It's given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are programs out there for people that make 50% of the median income in their area, that they'll give you $2,500, no questions asked. Here you go. Here's the money. Use it as you need it to purchase this home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the grants are like gifts. You know, they're given without the requirement of repayment, and they're fully forgiven. There is no lien put on the property.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those grants come with, like I said, a family household income limit.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you clarify that, because understanding the difference between a grant and down payment assistance has always been this world of confusion for a lot of people, not understanding. One has a commitment and the other one is just given to you with no strings attached. So it was good to hear you kind of break that down, how those two are both assisting, but completely separate in their own way.
Yeah. And with the down payment assistance, is there a certain time that that loan would be forgiven, or do they have to pay it back, or how does that work?
As far as the grants?
As far as the down payment assistance program.
Okay. So the down payment assistance, they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some programs that are forgiven, like for instance, that privately owned one.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you, they have two different products. One where you make a monthly payment and pay back the second down payment assistance over a 10-year period. And then there's another one that they have within that same product where they'll give you the money, there is no payback, and it's forgiven after a 36-month consecutive payments with no liens.
Okay.
So that's that one private down payment assistance. Now, you know, of course, everybody's going to say, well, I want to go for the second one. Well, the interest rate on the second one is a little bit higher than mm-hmm. the interest rate on the one that you're going to pay back.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but, you know, the county programs out there and the city programs out there, they usually want you to be living in the property for at least, you know, 15 to 30 years. It depends on which down payment assistance program that you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are looking for first-time home buyers, and they use the same definition as a first-time home buyer, you know, 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thesia, I'd like you to explain a little bit more about, and we haven't gotten into this discussion yet, but Hometown Heroes, break that down, because a lot of people are under the impression that you've got to be a fireman or a police officer or a school teacher, and that is so diverse as to who qualifies for it. Could you talk a little bit about that, please?
We're getting a call.
Well, the Hometown Heroes program is a state program. They will give up to $35,000 in down payment assistance.
Mm-hmm.
They will give no less than $10,000, and the income is based on the loan amount. Okay, it's like 5% of the loan amount that they're going to be borrowing. So if they're borrowing $100,000, 5% of that is $5,000, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they won't give anything less than $10,000. So somebody with a $100,000 loan will automatically get $10,000. But they won't go any higher than $35,000. So if you look at the math, you know, and you go higher in a loan amount, whatever it, you know, if anything is, it takes you over that $35,000, you're just left with getting $35,000.
Yeah.
Now, that first started out when, you know, Hometown Heroes, they were doing it for like first responders, you know, teachers, things like that. But then they said, you know what, we're just going to open it up to everybody. And they opened it up to everybody that works in the state that reports to brick and mortar in the state. So say you live in the state of Florida, but you're a remote worker, and the company that you work for is in California, and that company doesn't have any brick and mortar in Florida, then you wouldn't be eligible for that program. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, they don't have any funds available right now, but we mm-hmm. are always put on notice because we're approved with them
mm-hmm.
to, you know, work with that. And here's the thing, okay? You cannot request to reserve funds on those programs unless they're already under contract.
Okay, they're first come, first serve. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
So you know, and then we have to close you within a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the money is no longer available to you. There's always a lot of fallout with that because, you know, people might go under contract and the lender will reserve the funds and then to find that they don't qualify for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get,
okay.
And that's why it's so important
right.
up front to make sure you got all your ducks in a row, right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I believe that's one of the most important reasons why you should have everything set up front so that you don't have any fallout or any problems
right.
with your applications.
Right. So what happens is, you know, typically people go under contract
mm-hmm.
and then buy the property just on their off of their own means. And then if the money opens up, if the program opens up with some funds, then we jump real quick and just flip it into a Hometown Heroes program.
Well, how long would, what would be the cutoff for purchasing the property and then getting the funds? Is there a certain time period?
Exhaustion of funds.
Okay.
So, so exhaustion of funds, of reserved funds, let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they come out with, say, $2 million, it's first come, first reserved.
Mm.
Okay, then the lender has a certain period of time to get everything to them, you know, to fund it in time. If they find that that person doesn't qualify, if the state looks at it and says, okay, this person doesn't qualify, that money goes back in the pot. And then the state will come out and say, okay, we have about $1 million of fallout funds. And then everybody scrambles around to try and get those funds and get money reserved. But they won't even do anything without a contract, already under contract. So we can't go and say, okay, let me reserve you some funds. We're opening up. Let's reserve you some funds. Go find a house. Doesn't work that way. You have to find that house, be under contract, and hope that, you know, maybe funding might be available to you.
And Thesia, we have a question from a caller. The question is, are there any programs that take into account the cost of living when considering borrower's eligibility based on income? And I believe that would be the total obligation, right? But can you get into, and this came in from Jessica. And Jessica, thank you for calling in with your question.
Okay, so let me see if I heard that right, and forgive me. I can't hear you that well.
Yeah, I'll do
they,
it again.
They want to know
let me do it again for
if
you.
If it's income.
Yeah, let me do it again for you. Are there any programs that take into account the cost of living when considering the borrower's eligibility based on the income? And I think that would be the availability of disposable income, I believe. Is that right?
On the cost of living income?
Yeah, that's the question, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think...
I'm not quite sure what that is, but let me answer what I think it might mean.
Okay,
so these programs, a lot of them, we have to look at debt-to-income ratios. Okay.
There you go, and I think that's where it is.
Some of these programs, like that private one, we can go to a 55 back-end ratio.
Okay.
If
hey, just one second,
Thesia.
Could you explain?
I don't know if this is for somebody who's working or somebody who's on a fixed income. But if there's somebody on a fixed income, what we can do is we can actually gross up their income so long as they're not paying any income tax on that fixed income. That could be disability income. It could be child support. It could be Social Security. It could be, you know, well, alimony you pay taxes on, so that we couldn't gross up. But we can gross that up by 15% because you're not paying taxes, you know. So we typically qualify people on gross income and not net income. So it wouldn't be fair if somebody's on fixed income and they don't have to pay taxes. Why can't
right.
we give them the advantage and qualify them on a little bit higher than what they're getting because their gross is their net? You follow
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Thesia, let me ask you a question. I'm asking you to do this just for the purpose of our listeners who are, let's just say, you know, like entry level on some of the information. Could you explain back end, just so that everyone understands exactly how that breaks out?
Okay, and Luke, I'm so sorry. I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I just asked if you could explain what back end means in the mortgage world.
What means
back end?
The
back end ratio?
Yeah.
Oh, back end ratio.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we qualify people to purchase, we have to look at their housing payment. Okay. And when I say housing payment, it's your principal and interest, what you're paying back on the loan. Then there's monthly taxes, monthly insurance, and HOA, if there is any. So that's your housing payment. Typically, and it depends on your credit score. That's why it's really good to have a good credit score. But, you know, we can go as high as a 38% of your gross income, okay, to making your housing payment. But then there's a back-end ratio. And the back-end ratio is anything that any monthly debt that shows up on your credit report, or if you have to pay alimony or child support or, you know, some type of monthly everyday income or liability. Then we're going to take your housing payment and your total housing payment and your monthly expenses that show up on the credit report. And then we don't want you to go above a certain amount on that. Now, with FHA financing, we can go up to 55%. So you would take your monthly gross income times 55%. That would be the total amount that you would qualify for on an FHA loan between both your debt that shows up on the credit report or any alimony and child support added to that as well,
right,
and your monthly housing payment. So what I tell people is, look, here's your gross monthly income. Here's your normal expenses that we see on your credit report. Take the gross monthly income times 55%, subtract out whatever's showing up on the credit report, and typically the difference would be what your housing payment can be.
Great. Thank you so much for that explanation. I know it was a loaded question, but we wanted folks to understand how it's calculated.
Mm-hmm. You know, the easiest way to do this is really give you guys a call or give me a call.
Sure.
Because I can just, you know, breeze through anybody's individual situation. You know, I do ask a lot of questions when I do talk to people because mm-hmm. it just gives me a good idea and it allows me to be more precise with, you know, information I might get back to them.
Yeah. Well, TC, this has been a plethora of information tonight on the show. And we wanted to, I think Tiffany had one question she wanted to ask on something before we...
Yeah, I wanted to know about timelines because we have to wrap it up here. We wanted to know, typically, once someone has gotten all of their paperwork in and they're under contract with you, what's normally the timeline from contract to close working with you?
Okay, I don't like to brag.
Okay.
But
you
may
can.
I?
You can.
Yes,
you're allowed.
Please
here.
Do.
Go ahead. You go ahead. You're allowed.
Well, we're a lender.
Right.
You know,
and we have 30 seconds.
We have the ability to broker out loans if there's something that we don't have, but we have almost everything.
Yes.
Right.
From what we do is I like starting getting somebody pre-qualified. Okay, and pre-approved. And the difference between being pre-qualified and pre-approved is pre-qualified, somebody tells me what their information is, and I just go with it. Well, they can tell me that they make $1 million a year, so they're going to qualify for this high amount.
DCO, we're getting the blinker, so we're running out of time. But I wanted everyone to know that you're pretty quick with your closing. And
all right, I'll give you a quick answer. Yep. 20 days.
20 days.
All right, great.
Wonderful.
We
well, we ran the buzzer up here.
I knew we did.
We
but
certainly
that's the
did.
That's pre-approval, not
yes,
pre-qualification.
Pre-approval, yes. Yeah.
Well, more to come on this topic.
Yes, we have to bring Thesia back, but we'd like to thank you all for tuning in today. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5:30 for Keeping It Real Estate. Reach us at Treasure Coast RG on Instagram. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Real Estate Show with your hosts, Luke Lewis and Tiffany Young. Thanks for tuning in as we explored everything you need to know about buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Our mission is to keep you informed and ahead of the curve in today's market. Be sure to join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for more expert insights, tips, and local market updates. You can always reach us at 772-510-6801 or by visiting our website at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. Until then, stay informed, stay inspired, and of course, keep it real in real estate. You hold my hand.